the emotional roller coaster. Let's face it. Part of the reason that you can't just get over things is that you are riding one heck of a roller coaster right now. It's a ride with loop-de-loops that you can see, a ride that feels like the accelerator at Knott's Berry Farm, which goes 0 to 80 in honestly mere seconds, and it has you hanging out at about 205 feet in the air and then just dropping you straight down. It makes my gut turn just looking at it, and I will not go on it. You can't see what's coming, and the bummer part about this ride is that you didn't ask to get on it.
Healing from broken trust doesn't follow a straight line. Like I said in the last section, it took time to get to this point, and it's going to take time to get beyond it. See, healing from any type of hurt is not a matter of just passing through these stages like one at a time, just like a checklist. Like, you know, I did stage one, I did stage two, I did stage three, we're moving on to stage seven, I'm all good. It's not like that. Instead, it's more like take a step or two forward, then a step backward, and do that over and over again until you begin to have more forward steps than backward steps. And you can't rush this. You know, I don't know how to say it any plainer than to say your marriage did not get to this place overnight. One of you didn't wake up, you know, on January 17th and say, today would be a good day to have an affair. You know, today would be a good day to spend an extra $1,000 that we don't have. Today would be a good day to, you know, have lunch with that handsome coworker or that attractive coworker. That's not how it happens. It's a very slow, kind of insidious process. And the same thing has to happen getting out of it. You have to go through this process. There's no magic fairy wand or dust that's going to make it all better. And Tony and I have often joked that if we could just figure out what this was, there would be no need for a workshop like this. Instead, all of you, just like all of us, have to do things the old-fashioned way. You have to work at it. See, there are triggers everywhere that can and will bring forth memories of the incident or the actions. And really, isn't that kind of a pain? You think, you know, here we are, we're dealing with this, I'm trying to move forward, and now I've got to worry about other things that might bring forth more emotions. I'm kind of all emotioned out. And yet there are these triggers. So triggers, what are they? People, places, and things that can cause a flashback. Unexpected emotional or physical reactions. And they can happen anytime and any place. So some examples of triggers, and these are all ones that I've heard from coaching clients that we have here at One Extraordinary Marriage. Driving in a particular part of town. Hearing a name mentioned. Getting a bill, like a credit card bill, where you see, you know, a hotel or a restaurant. Dealing with medical conditions. You know, I have one client that can't drive through a part of town where she knows her husband had, you know, carried on his affair. For some others, you know, if there have been sexual breaches of trust, they can't be in that position or that location sexually. You know, if you gave your spouse as a result of a transgression, an affair, infidelity, if you gave them a sexually transmitted disease, I will tell you that, especially in the short term, every time that disease flares up, you have an outbreak, that's a trigger. You know, or getting, like I said, getting a credit card in the credit card bill in the mail with charges that were related to infidelity or, you know, financial infidelity, overspending, things like that. Those are all examples of triggers. So there are three P's to dealing with a trigger and its response. Pause, pray, and proceed. And these three P's, this is not just for dealing with triggers related to the breach of trust, but for dealing with your emotions throughout the whole process. And even, I mean, this is actually, these three P's you can use for anything in your life, anything that upsets you or causes an emotional reaction. First step, pause.
And breathe.
That's hopefully built in there with the pause, but I'm glad Tony pointed that out. You've got to breathe. See, in dealing with emotions, very little good comes from immediately reacting to a situation. It is good to breathe. Remember the action step that we talked about earlier where we said, you know, breathe. And then you focus on the situation. Number two, pray. Making it through stressful life circumstances, like those involved in broken trust, require more than we can sometimes humanely give. Asking for God's guidance, wisdom, and help allows you to lean in and lean on God.
Yeah, and this is a time of, you know, reflection, being able to, you know, I was reading a book just recently by Philip Yancey, and one of the biggest takeaways I took out of this book was a prayer that we can have during tough times. Here in the United States, we tend to pray of like, God, just take this away from me. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm weary. I just take it away from me. And Philip Yancey sort of flipped this around and said, instead of that, pray for strength. Lord, give me strength during this time so that we grow through it. And that was really my big takeaway from that prayer. And it's one that, you know, I'm praying myself more often to go, give me strength during this. Let me learn from this. Let me grow from this. Let me see what you have in store for me. So it's something to think about as you do go through that pray, that second P.
And the last P is proceed. So now that you've stopped, taken a breath, and prayed for your circumstances, then you can proceed with more clarity and direction than if you had just reacted. So the first stage, shock and denial. On the roller coaster, this is the first step. This is the getting on point. You've received the revelation and your mind starts to spin. You know, some of these thoughts listed here, I thought everything was fine. I can't believe it. This isn't happening to me, to us. My spouse would never do anything like this, but they promised. You know, I've heard from so many that when they find out about the broken trust, when they first find out, they simply can't believe it. I mean, the thoughts that go through your head is like, what happened to our fairy tale, our happily ever after? Why would he or she do this? Is this for real? And I've been there. We both have been there, you know, with Tony's, you know, business trips and things like that. And the year that I overspent on Christmas, I mean, I just remember Tony's face just going, seriously? Where do you think the money's going to come from? You know, we've done Dave Ramsey. We've done cash flow plan. Like, you know, is it coming from, you know, where's your money tree, Lisa? You know, and there was just this whole shock and denial. And I would venture a guess that everyone on this workshop has gone through this stage. Then comes the pain and guilt. The not sleeping, the not eating, the being overly emotional. And by that, I don't mean that in a negative way. I'm just like, your emotions just sit right below the surface.
You're on that roller coaster.
You're on the roller up and down. And, you know, one minute you're like, oh my gosh. And the next minute you're like, this isn't happening. You know, the thoughts of, what did I do to cause this? What could I have done differently? You know, and I've seen it happen time and time again. When broken trust happens, people go on the broken trust diet and lose all kinds of weight. And so it's very effective at getting the weight off, but it's incredibly unhealthy in the long term. But it happens when you're going through this not sleeping, not eating, not exercising, not practicing self-care. You know, so many just go into the state of paralysis. And so you're just in a survival mode. Just getting through each day is an accomplishment. You've been there where you've been racked with guilt that something that you did caused the situation. And I want to be very clear before we move on to these other slides that, you know, I mentioned earlier in the workshop that trust is based on behavior. And it's a trust of two people, right? Trust implies that there's a relationship. And we talked about the different reasons why trust is broken, and those involve both of you. Broken trust, though, ultimately is the result of a decision, right? It comes down to one person making a decision to engage in behavior that is detrimental to the relationship. Be it an affair, financial secrets, neglect of the marriage, and so forth. There are lots of different reasons why trust is an issue for both of you, but breaking trust comes down to a decision by one. Anger and bargaining. The yelling, the arguments. For some of you, when you get really angry, you get really, really quiet. I know that feeling. I have done that myself, where it's almost like, it's scarier for the quiet ones than it is for the loud ones. You get into the place where you say things like, I'll do this whatever it is, I'll be a better cook. I'll be home every day after work. If you'll just quit, stop, change. I gotta tell you, anger is legit. When your dream is destroyed, it's normal and even expected that you're going to be angry. You know, depending on where the breach of trust is, there may be more people impacted than just the two of you. Depending on what it is, people have lost jobs. They've had to declare bankruptcy. They've faced health crises, unplanned pregnancies, and even lost their kids, depending on what the situation is that broke the trust. And how the two of you handle your anger during this time is critical. I have to be very clear here. Do not get physical with one another. Do not swear at each other. Do not call each other names. You cannot undo any of those actions. They will just further break the trust in the relationship. When you're expressing your anger, you need to be specific about what it is that's making you angry. And going back to that first action step where we talked about journaling, sometimes it may be helpful for you to journal out your emotions first so you can kind of see them and then share them with your spouse. And about the bargaining piece, we humans, we want to like fix things right away. Like we want to just do kind of an if-then, right? All the time. So we can just, you know, make the pain go away, make the embarrassment go away. So we'll just make a deal to make it go away. Bargaining is a temporary fix. The two of you have to choose new behaviors for your marriage. Bargaining does not lead to lasting change. Depression. And I want to say one thing before I get into just the points on depression here. If you feel like depression is more than you can handle, if you feel like it's turning into something that is just weighing you down, please, please, please go and see a doctor. There is no shame in asking for help. I have had many, many clients who have sought medical intervention to make it through this particular stage of the roller coaster. And again, there is no shame. Getting help to get through is actually a sign of courage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it's, and some of those are, you know, you can't get out of bed. You're just in a dark place all the time. You're very, can for some folks, it can be just very angry. For others, it could be just a lack of concern for anything. If you're feeling that, please, like Elisa said, don't wallow in that. Don't sit in there and go, I can just push through and get better. Because usually it gets worse and it really will not help you get through rebuilding the trust and rebuilding your foundation. So get healthy, get well, so you can work on your marriage, you know, and rebuild the trust.
And when you're dealing with depression in this emotional roller coaster, you're having thoughts like, we're never going to make it out of this. This is never going to get better. No one else has ever experienced this. I'm the only one who knows what this is like. And I hope as we've been sharing people's comments throughout the workshop that you realize that you're not alone. People are having the same reasons for broken trust as you are. They're having the same emotions as you are. You are not alone. See, the pain of broken trust can easily lead you into a dark place, a place where you see no way out, a place where everything seems hopeless. And the sadness, these life events can feel overwhelming. The reality is the loss of a dream, it hurts. And you understand that because we've all experienced loss in our life, and you know, loss of a dream, loss of a loved one. And because you're here on this call, here's something I know about you. You have made it through loss before, right? You wouldn't be here if you hadn't. So you have that survivor in you. You're gonna make it through. The upward turn. And this is when you start having those thoughts like, maybe we can make it through. I think we might be able to repair our marriage. What could our marriage look like moving forward? See, as the two of you begin to take more steps towards your future, remember I said that you would start to get to the point where you took more forward steps than backward steps? Restoring your foundation and doing all of these actions, you're going to have moments in every day where you have these thoughts, right, that we just talked about. And at first, you're going to think, this is crazy. Like, I don't know where this is coming from. We've been in such a dark spot. Am I really thinking we're going to make it through? And the truth is, together you can. Together, you continue to put your marriage first. You continue to have more good days and bad, more positive actions that feed into that trust bank that Tony mentioned earlier. Reconstruction and work through. It's asking the question, what does our new normal look like, right? Because we talked about there being a before and an after. So what does the new normal look like for the two of us? What do we need to have in place to avoid a repeat? What baggage do we need to let go of now? See, it's a new normal. And that's what life is like after broken trust. Those rose-colored glasses, they've come off, and there's more reality in your marriage. You're becoming aware of the fact that you cannot coast through your marriage. That's the thing I think Tony and I hear so often is, you know, after a breach of trust, as the couple starts to work through, there's this idea that they convey to us that they had been coasting, not really investing in the marriage, not putting time and energy and effort into it. And so, you know, part of that new normal is actually making an investment. And you start to think about, when are going to be those guardrails? A number of you mentioned that lack of guardrails is one of the reasons that resonated with you. So what are those guardrails that you're going to have in place to create a foundation that's sustainable? You know, what safeties are you going to add to your marriage to have more transparency? Are you going to add filters to your electronics? Are you going to establish certain boundaries? And what do you need to let go of or change to have the relationship that you desire going forward? Is it friendships that are no good? A job that no longer works for your marriage, habits that don't make your marriage a priority? I don't know what it is for you, but these are all questions that you've got to ask yourself. Acceptance and hope. This is a new chapter. You know, saying to yourself, I choose to forgive daily. I choose to release the pain, hurt, and disappointment. I choose my life. And that first one, so important. A new chapter. When trust is broken, it often feels like a death, the end of the road, the end of the story. Because again, what you thought was true has changed. And you are empowered. You have the ability to make the choice that it's not going to be the end. You can choose to forgive. You can choose to release your pain, your hurt, the transgression, the shame. You can choose life over death, in a very figurative sense, because broken trust does not have to equal a broken marriage. And one of my clients, actually that couple that I mentioned at the very beginning, married 15 years, he got involved in pornography. She did the extensive retail therapy. In working with them, the husband had this amazing analogy about moving to this place of acceptance and hope. He said, you know, when the trust is first broken, it's like the two of you are in a boat in the ocean, and you know, you've just tossed over all of this junk and it just keeps hitting the side of the boat, right? It just keeps slamming into the boat. But you're here and the waves are rocking you all around, and you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm getting seasick, and the garbage is all around the boat. He said, but I'm realizing that as we start to put more of these positive actions into place, as we start to work on our relationship, the garbage, because of us being in the ocean, the garbage is starting to like float away from us. It's still there, right? Like it's still a part of our story, but it's not bumping up against the boat every day like it was when it first happened. So the action steps here are forgiving, accountability, and coaching. And I want to be clear that forgiveness is not condoning what the other person did. It's making a conscious decision that you are not going to allow that person's decision to negatively impact you and your life. It's releasing the negative feelings that you have about that person. It's a change in your attitude and behavior. Forgiving your spouse is not something that you do necessarily do for them. You do it for yourself to make yourself healthier. And it's hard. I mean, sometimes you have to choose to do this daily, hourly. I mean, I've had, you know, husbands and wives are like, I'm forgiving. I choose to forgive you. I choose to forgive you. They make it a practice so that they keep reminding themselves what they are looking towards and working towards in their marriage. The accountability, you know, this is a big one, because having an accountability partner, a small group, a pastor, a coach, someone that you can turn to when you're working on changing your behavior, someone that you can check in with, someone who's going to speak truth to you and not just pat you on the back. And that's key when you're looking for accountability. You've got to be honest with this person. You've got to tell them when you're struggling. And honestly, we all need accountability in our lives. People to keep us on the straight and narrow, people to help us create the discipline that we often lack when we're on our own.
And when you are looking for accountability partners, please keep that to the same sex. Guys, guys, gals, gals. Again, this is a very touchy area we're in, right? And so we're not going to muddy up that whole thing now, saying that our accountability partner for me would be a female. It just wouldn't be a wise choice at that point in time. I will say that finding an accountability partner, very easy to say, and yet sometimes it can be difficult to do. One thing that I've done in my life is that I've had to seek people out. I've had to ask for help. I've had to go to a men's group and be there. You know, this is sort of like, you know, you rebuilding trust is, you know, being there around other guys and letting Lisa know that I am there, finding that person there.
And the last one is coaching. You know, most of us struggle with doing things on our own, especially when it comes to changing our behaviors. And you know, I don't want you to be afraid to reach out and get coaching. We're so quick to do it in other areas of our lives. You know, if we want to get in shape, if we want to learn how to lift weights, what do? We get a fitness trainer. If we want to learn how to manage our money better, we get a financial planner. If we want to change careers or do better in our job, we get a career coach. If you need new strategies in your marriage, if you need to work through a particular area, don't be afraid to get a coach to come alongside you.
And so as we conclude, you know, do you need personal help? Because we've covered a ton already and we got more to come. So when you're looking at your marriage and you're looking where you're at and how the trust has been broken, and maybe for some of you, hey, the trust has been broken and you're trying to rebuild it now. It hasn't been broken again, but you're there. You're like, okay, what do we do? And you're here and you're getting some great tips and strategies and you're like, okay, we're implementing. For some of you, trust has been going on, it's broken, it happens, you're rebuilding, it gets broken, you're going through this cycle. And so you're at a point where you're like, we need more. You know, this is just the first step of your journey. It really is. Because again, like I said, for myself, pornography, 18 years of my life, I've been clean 11 years. Didn't happen overnight. The trust and the emotional and the physical and the sexual intimacy Elise and I have did not happen overnight. It's happened over time. For those of you that you're going, I need more, consider a strategic coaching session. That is with Elisa. She is awesome. She has her CPC, which is her certified professional coaching. So she does this very well and she works with couples. She has over 300 plus hours just working with couples, sometimes just with the husband, sometimes just with the wife, and then together. So it's there. If you're interested in that, you can go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/strategic session. And because you've made a commitment already to be here and trust me, restore, renew, and rebuild your foundation, we want to give you 25% off your first session. So when you go to that website, oneextraordinarymarriage.com/strategic session, you can just enter code TRUSTME and you'll get your first session for $97.